Man, good morning. I hope everyone is doing okay. Everyone doing okay? Yesterday was a little tough, huh? You'll find that probably the first 3 or 4 days are going to be the toughest, and then afterwards you just start coasting. Right? Trust me, it's just, you know, you guys have had your headache day yet, right? Yeah. So as soon as that passes, it's pretty. It gets pretty good after that. All right. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. You know, thank you to all you guys that are leading the worship. I actually been really enjoying the worship times in the morning. Matthew chapter 3, let's read this. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And for this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the districts around Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father,' for I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you. You do that, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answering said to him, "Permit at this time, for in the way is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. And after him being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Amen. Well, this is our first, at least in Matthew, our first introduction to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is one of the most intriguing characters in the Bible. You know, if you talk about in the scriptures, there's only a handful of people that actually lived a very noble life from beginning to end. John the Baptist is in that category. There's only, you can count on one hand, actually, how many people we would say literally finished well. You know, and John is one of these guys. And John, just to give you a little background, John from his birth, his parents did this. He was a Nazarite. What a Nazarite is people that are especially consecrated to God. You know, and they take a special vow. You can actually have it, your parents can consecrate you. In other words, they can set you apart, because that's really what consecration, or the term Nazarite means, be set apart. You could either have your parents do that at birth, or you can take a personal vow as a Nazarite for a season in your life. You know, years ago, I was involved in this ministry, and one of the students that was traveling with us, you know, for about 4 months around the country, he was only 12 years old at the time, and he actually took a Nazarite vow. He did it for just about a year. And can you imagine a 12-year-old kid? He had no sweets and no meat, and obviously no liquor, and you know, that's part of the Nazarite vow, and all these things. He did this for almost a year. He grew out his hair, you know, and at the end of the vow, and we did it all the way till the event that was happening. And after the event, he went, and his dad cut his hair, and they set an altar, and they burned his hair up. I thought it was really cool, you know. But can you imagine a 12-year-old kid not eating meat or any sweets, cake, cookies, nothing, for almost a year, right? You know, and his dad is the one that came up with the saying, right, to give up the legitimate pleasures of the world for the extreme pleasures of knowing God. You know, I got that line from his dad. You know, and it's amazing, you know, what people can do. I had another student of mine who went on a Nazarite vow for over 3 years, and he looked horrible, I have to say, right? Because his hair, I mean, he had like a full Hebrew beard going on, and you know, just his hair, and they had some kind of tough family problems, you know, and he decided that, you know, I'm going to really battle this thing. And so he took a vow as a Nazarite. And some of you guys, actually, years back, I actually emailed you his email that he sent when he broke his Nazarite vow. And so people still do that in this modern age. Not too many people, you know, but there are some people that do that. And John was one of these typical characters. In the scriptures, only a few. There are actually a lot more, but only a few that we can really find some kind of proof text. There was Samuel, obviously, was one of them. Obviously, we know the one knucklehead of them all, Samson, right? And he also was a Nazarite. And in fact, actually, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that all Christians should be Nazarites, right? He calls all of us to be separate, you know, before him. And just to know, to understand the vow, this is in Numbers chapter 6. The vow was no liquor, you know, of any kind, not even grape juice. You know, it was very strict. No shaving, right? No cutting of your hair. No defilement in any way, and no corruption. This is just total holiness. Living a life so committed to God, you know, in the seeking after purity and the seeking after God's heart. You know, generally, we would say for very specific purposes. And so, you know, if God calls you to a Nazarite vow, I'll back you up, man, 100%, right? But I want to look back in the text. There's something here. John the Baptist is what we call the forerunner, right? He's the one that came before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the forerunner, you know, basically, according to the scriptures, made the way ready for the Lord. In other words, a forerunner would be someone that, you know, if there was a path, right, he would either create the path or he would get rid of every obstacle that was on the path to make the way ready for the Lord. You know, if you ever lived in places where it was very cold, where there was snow, you know, the forerunner would be the snowplow, right, that kind of comes and just wipes all the snow away, puts it aside, so it makes the road ready. That's exactly what John the Baptist was. And so what was the central message? What made the way ready for the Lord? What was it? It was repentance. Repentance. What in your hearts, right? What can you do, right, to create an avenue by which God comes in the midst of you? It's repentance. Right? He came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of God, the theology of the kingdom is right here, right now. The way that kingdom of God comes to us, our response is repentance. Right? It's not sacrificial living, right? It's not years of church attendance. It's not, you know, giving. It's not any of these things. The way that you clear the road for the enemy to come, or I'm sorry, for the enemy not to come, but for God to come, is repentance, right? That you humble yourself, right? You confess your sins to the Lord, and you know, have a desire to walk in righteousness. Repentance. You know, and we see that repentance is not just something that you say with your mouth, because all of a sudden John is baptizing these people, right? And the way that, you know, the mark by which he baptized them is they confess their sins. But notice, he gets around and he sees these Pharisees, these Sadducees come to him. And what does he say? They say, hey, come out to the water. Let me take care of you here. No. He says, you brood of vipers. Who told you to come, basically? You know, and he says, don't you know God's going to, you know, his wrath is going to come. And the reason why he said that, because look, you need to have fruits, right, of repentance. In other words, it's not just good enough to say you're sorry or to make a confession, you know, or to even to come to the water to be baptized. In this case, it's a heart transplant, right? It's a movement of our heart. You know, and repentance literally means to turn away, right? To turn around and turn away. Right? And so it's not just, you know, oh man, gosh, God, I'm so sorry. You know, and then in the back of your mind, as soon as you get the next opportunity, you're going to do it. You know, it's not just, it's literally, okay, this is what I was doing before. This is what I'm going to do now, right? It's totally turning away, 180 degrees. That's what repentance is. And so he comes to these Pharisees that are sleeping out there, and he says, man, look, I need to see some fruits of repentance, right? No, it's not just what you say, right? It's the condition of your heart and then what you do. After that, after what you say, right? That's what repentance is. Right? This is the avenue, you know, by which God comes. And it's interesting, you know. I had this episode yesterday with Elise. I was working in the office, and she happened to open up the trash can. You know, I've got a lid, and she figured out how to open the thing up now. And there was some food in there, right? But you know, dirty old food. You know, and Elise, she went in, and she has this habit now of just taking everything out of the trash can, right? And so she grabbed the food, and she started eating it. You know, it was a muffin, you know, that she had dropped on the floor, so I threw it in the trash can. Now I know to just throw it in the kitchen trash can instead of my office. And she started eating it, and all of a sudden, you know, I turned over and I said, "Oh, what are you eating?" You know, and I looked over and I said, "Elise, can you give it to me, please? Can you give it to me? You know, please?" And she goes, "No." You know, and you know, she does this thing with her hand, like, "Get off me, Dad!" And you know, and then I did that for, you know, about a good minute, and then after a while, I just took it out of her hand, you know, and she cried for like 30 minutes straight. I mean, just not just she was screaming and tearing up and the whole thing, you know. And I was just thinking, you know, what a good picture of us human beings. You know, we're like that, right? We look for, you know, I bet to her, that trash can, inside that trash can, that food looked pretty darn good, right? She didn't know it was dirty, right? I mean, she doesn't have the capacity, you know, I mean, maybe a little bit later on, but it's not good for her. It could cause sickness and all these kind of things, but that's what sin is like in our lives, you know? And so she grabs it up, and then God patiently says, "Will you give it up, please? You know, come on." You know, he sends the Spirit to us and kind of leads us on, you know, and then we're like, "No, get away from me, right? I'm going to take care of this myself." And then lo and behold, God just takes it away, right? He'll just physically, you know, either through circumstance or something, just bring us to a position where, you know, these things get dealt with. And then we just start crying and crying and crying. "God, you're unfair. You're this, you're that." You know, there's something about the nature of sin, right, that is so attractive, but that is so deadly. Right, the Old Testament, New Testament, the wage of sin is death, you know. But the way to life, right, is repentance. Right, the way for the, you know, the entrance of the Lord to come, right, it comes through repentance, you know. And so this is, you know, if you've noticed, I've been, you know, the last few days I've been really harking on this because this is so important for our lives, especially, you know, that we're entering this season to draw near to the Lord. You know, the best way to draw near is to come to the Lord sincerely in repentance and turn away, you know, and it's an open door, right, for the Lord to come in, right? He says, "Make ready the way of the Lord," right? And that's exactly what repentance does. Let's just close with the end here. You know, John 3:16 is so important. I tell you what, Matthew 3:16 is as important as that is. And he says, Jesus was baptized. He went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him, and behold, a voice out of the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You know, do you know what makes a great Christian? I mean, just makes a great Christian, right? It's to have the divine Spirit and then to have divine approval, right? They must happen together. I know we talked about it on Sunday a little bit, right? There must be an impartation of divine Spirit, right? The Spirit of God must come upon you. But you also must have divine approval, right? You need to know that you're loved. You need to know that you please God, right? You need to know that you are totally, totally accepted by God, you know? And I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts, you know? If those two things don't happen in your life, I would say, as a pastor, I would say it would probably be very difficult to live a very fruitful Christian life, very honestly speaking. You know, unless those two encounters happen in your life, that the Spirit and the approval, right? Father's approval. If those things don't happen in our lives and in our Christian existence, it would be very difficult for us to live this Christian life and to be successful at it. All right, so let's close our eyes today. A couple of different things. During this time, are you seeking the Lord in regard to areas of your life that need to be turned around? And this is not feeling condemned or any of these things, but, you know, this is an opportunity. Just it's like me coming to my daughter and say, "Please, will you give that to me? You know, it's really bad for you. Please." It's the Spirit's invitation. Are you willing to make the way for the Lord? Those very things could be the obstacles, you know, the blocks on the road that prevent God from coming into the midst of our situations, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our problems, or maybe the problems are a direct result of those sins. I want to encourage you during this season to make the way ready for the Lord. Now, and in a different vein, is this whole idea of the Spirit and the divine approval, especially the divine approval part, if this is an area that's very challenging for you, I really want you to commit yourself to God during this fast, to really seek Him in this. You know, just go, you're His precious daughter, you're His precious son, and say, God, I really struggle with really knowing that You accept me wholeheartedly. God, You have no idea the sins that I commit in my life. Or actually, You do, but... And if that's an area of struggle for you, I encourage you that this time of fasting, to go before God, and every day say, God, I want to know Your approval. I want to hear the voice of heaven that says that You're proud of me, that You love me unconditionally. Because I want to tell you what, God wants you to live in the reality more than you do, even more than you can imagine that you do. That's His will for your life, that you would know that you are loved unconditionally and that you're approved of unconditionally. That's God's heart, the Father heart of God. And so, and that's an area of struggle for you, I encourage you to go before the Lord in that during this time. And so let's just spend a little time in prayer today. And whatever those things that come to mind or anything else, let's just go to God in prayer for a season. All right, let's pray. Now, thank You, Jesus. Worship. You know, one of the things that we lack very much in our life is discernment, right? Just to know when God's speaking to us and when He's not speaking to us. And let's just spend some time. Let's pray for ourselves in that area. Let's pray for a real impartation of wisdom and discernment, right? Just to recognize God's voice in our life. And let's just cover ourselves in that way. Let's pray. Let's pray for Solomon's Porch, and especially as we prepare for a new service, you know, our 11 o'clock service. Let's pray that God would just begin to speak and start raising up families here, either inside the church or outside the church. And if you have friends that are looking for a church, that have kids, or, you know, or just any you know, in any kind of thing like that, you know, start inviting them and just start talking to them about it. And so let's just kind of ask the Lord to really prepare also. You know, part of that is Pastor Sam and Pastor Nate starting their ministries at church. And so let's really cover them and the youth group and the Sunday school and the 11 o'clock service as we go into two services. Pray for strength of myself. I'll be preaching two times on Sunday now. And so just, you know, everything and recruiting teachers and everything that has to do with the service, that God would just really place His hand upon us. So let's just pray for that. I would just lift up God our... Let's pray for just good health this next year. If you know people that are sick, you know, let's just cover them and ask God to heal and minister, even over just general health of yourself and your family members or people around you. Let's continue to pray for Jacinta's dad as he's going through his therapy. Let's ask God to minister to him. And I know there's a lot of other people, some that are unspoken or prayer requests. Let's just lift them up as well. And just, you know, anyone that's sick, you know, diabetes or whatever the case may be, let's just cover them and ask God to really bring healing over their lives this next year. Let's pray for them. And we just let's pray for our sister Jain. Let's pray that the Lord would have favor over Mike, her brother's music career, especially his album that's going to be launched this year. Also pray for Jain to be diligent in looking for a job. She's probably going to quit in February, and that she'll be able to find a job that will mature, develop, and challenge her. Let's pray for her to develop a healthy, disciplined eating habit and lifestyle and body image, that God would really minister to that need. Also pray for her to have a steady intimacy with God, regardless of the environment, regardless of circumstances. Let's cover her. Let's pray for our sister Janie. Now let's pray for her dad and his wife, who are Buddhists. Let's pray for their salvation and also their health. Let's pray for the Lord to provide her with a new job opportunity, with interesting work and good colleagues and mentors, and for God to strengthen her career through this. We pray that she'd walk in intimacy with the Lord and to put into action all that he tells her to do, to break laziness, complacency, and impatience, and to be disciplined and to give her best in all that she does. For her sister-in-law to give birth to a healthy, beautiful baby in late summer, and for God to draw her and her brother close to him to build a strong foundation for the family, and for God to prepare her to be a loving aunt. And also pray for the Lord to protect and love her mom more and more. So let's just cover her. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim. Let's pray the Lord grant the vision and direction in serving as education pastor at SP. Also pray for vision and direction from the Lord and continue to serve the children in China through starting up this NGO. Also pray that he would be an excellent husband and a father, and he would bring much joy and laughter to Annie and Micah. And also pray for his younger sister Caroline, for her salvation, and for God to totally use his family for his glory. So let's just cover Pastor Sam. Lord, we just thank you again, God, just for this opportunity to come before you, Lord. And Lord, every day during this fast, God, and in morning prayer, Lord, we pray that we would make ready the way of the Lord. Yeah, that we would do our part, Father God, in clearing the roadblocks, clearing the obstacles, Lord, that prevent you from entering and making our lives full. And so continue to teach us, God. Now we thank you for this day, God. We ask you to bind our will to your will this day. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.